You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
USB microphones and headphones provided by CAD Audio. CAD Audio, expression through innovation.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response.
We're already putting together the best man. With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan. It's a plan.
It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
It's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. I am Mike, your host, and joining me as always is Eric and Kylan. And Kylan, we got to touch up on something from last week.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear from your brother about Perez?
Incoming call. Well, I put it on the screen. There is a call for you. Do you wish to ignore? This call might be important.
That might be him. Caller.
Hey, guys.
Hello. Hey, it's my brother. Hey, Thomas, what's up?
How did he get the number to the secret lair?
Okay, well, I didn't exactly give it to him, but it was sort of like one of those, like...
It was in a file. Okay.
What was it? Was it a bathroom wall situation?
For a good time, call the volcano lair?
Not I coaxed it out of him.
See, well, you know, he's really good friends with Luke Cage, and, you know, Luke Cage knows, you know, so it just kind of went like that. Luke likes to talk sometimes. He's the gossip of the Marvel Universe. I probably
should have
said
that. I ain't
going to
be the one telling him to shut up.
I'm not telling him to shut up either. So, Friday night, the second day of Dragon Con, and I'm not there, I get a text from my brother, and it's a picture, and it's a dark picture, and I'm looking, and I'm like, from the way the picture looked, I'm like, oh my goodness, is this guy hanging out with Ron Glass? Because it's just kind of like how it looked, and I'm like, is that Ron Glass? He goes, no, it's George Perez. And then my jaw dropped, and I make the face, like, I'm pretty sure I made the same face I looked when I saw the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 4-minute preview.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that. So then I'm like, okay, explain. I said, that is, he says, yeah, that's George Perez. And I'm like, and why are you having dinner with George Perez? And then he just says, I'll explain later after con. Just like it's no big deal. And so we're, what, two weeks, three weeks after con, and I have yet to hear this story.
Okay, so I'll give you the short version. All right, so everybody knows that George is kind of a staple. You always see him at Dragon. And there was one year, a couple of years back, where he was not there, and I was like, okay, what's going on? And apparently he took a year off to hang out with his wife. Well, my lovely lady Melissa has been going with me to con for the last couple of years, and she always goes to the belly dance class. And so I go to meet up with her after the belly dance class, and she's talking to Anisha, the head belly dance instructor for all the Dragon Con classes.
Which and happens I to hear, be George's wife.
Right. See, I didn't know this at the time. Yeah. And so me and Melissa just got to be friends with Anisha. And so last year we were going to all hang out, and then he had stuff going on. They apparently have a bunch of different people they see when they go to that con. So this year, there's a little local con here called Geek Gathering, and it benefits Boys and Girls Club.
Now, where's here?
I'm in Huntsville, Alabama, but that is in Muscle Shoals.
Okay.
So just an hour and a half from here. All right, so I'm like, hey, Phoenicia, can we get a picture from George to take to Geek Gathering for the little raffle thing they're doing to benefit Boys and Girls Club? And she's like, of course, blah, 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 blah. Well, we go back and forth about it, and I tell them that the theme of the con is All Hail the Heel, you know, a wrestling reference to bad guys or whatever.
Right.
So he pops up with this picture of Thanos with the gauntlet and everything. Really beautiful sketch.
I'd like to add that she sent me on Facebook a picture of George smiling, holding up this picture less than 5 minutes after we described what we kind of wanted for it. And she was like, you mean like this?
So we had to transport that from Dragon Con to the other little con. And we were going to go have dinner with Phoenicia, and Phoenicia's all like, hey, George isn't busy. You mind if he comes with us? So, like, yeah, I mind.
Well, see, we hung out with her a few times last year, but George was always busy, and I wanted to get to know him as my friend's husband.
Well, that's not totally true. He hung out with us at the...
briefly, yeah.
Briefly, you know, waiting for the drum circle, and briefly while we were going to do the... Sasha, I teach Kung Fu, and me and one of my Kung Fu students did a demo last year and this year at Dragon Con, and so we got to hang out with him some because she does a belly dance. So, yeah, it was... That's why I say it's no big deal, because we were hanging out with my girlfriend's friend, and then her husband came along, who just happened to be George.
Nothing big. I'm just chilling with my BFF, you know, George Perez.
You mean to tell me that all this time I've been George Perez adjacent, and I didn't know this until now?
More so after this year. I guess it was like...
Phoenicia and I have games where we'll take pictures. Jazz hands is kind of a thing with us. It's become a game where we'll send pictures of ourselves in various places doing jazz hands, and because I'm finishing up paramedic school, I don't get to go to very many interesting places, so it's like, I'm on the ambulance, jazz hands. And she's performed from places all over the world of her doing jazz hands, so, and George is in some of them with the jazz hands, too.
So, yes, you are now George Perez adjacent, but I'm trying not to fanboy out about myself being, you know, George Perez adjacent.
Okay, we may have just come up with a title for this show, and that is George Perez Jazz Hands.
Yes. Yes, I am. Wow. Of all the Dragon Con stories, I was expecting something along the lines of, you know, he had an open space. You know, he was at this place having dinner. It was an open space. My table was next to his, and he came over, or he invited us over there. I wasn't expecting...
It wasn't like the time that we saved Ron Glass drunk persona from falling down the stairs at Dragon Con. It wasn't like that, no.
No, I am... Wow. Okay.
Of course, I dropped the bomb on Kylan last week saying, I have a daughter, and the one daycare she was at, her 3-year-old teacher is the adoptive daughter of George Perez and Phoenicia.
Oh, yeah.
It's raining George Perez all around me.
So, Thomas, if you know Tabitha.
I don't know Tabitha.
But not know her.
Right.
We know her.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
And,
right now. Wow.
You're doubly a G.
No, right now, I'm the only person in this entire group that has no interaction with George Perez at all. None.
We'll fix that next time you make it to Atlanta.
Yeah.
They'll make it a full set.
Or just come... Well, MegaCon just announced, of course, you know, MegaCon here in Orlando just got bought by Fan Expo. So right. What did they announce on Monday? Oh, in November, November 22nd, 21st and 22nd, we're going to do MegaCon or Mega Fan Days. It's like, okay, same thing you did with Toronto, same thing you did with Dallas after you bought Dallas. So now they're going to do a spring and fall show here in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
First three comic guests signed to appear. Jimmy Palminati, Amanda Connor. Well, they live in Tampa. And George Perez. I think George Perez has been to almost every MegaCon show because, yeah. One, he's a local.
Well, I think the main reason he does that Dragon Con so much is both of them, Phoenicia ends up being a guest as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
She's a pretty prominent player in the Silk Road track at Dragon Con. So it's something for both of them to have their professional lives there. And they both got friends.
And something else really great about George is he works a lot with Hero Initiative, which,
yes.
I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with that. It's a charity that helps out comic book artists, comic book writers, because, you know, back in the day, they were all working for pay. They weren't working. There was no, you know, rights to keeping their characters.
They were all work for hire.
Right. And so even like more modern guys that me and Kalen grew up on, like Mike Grell. When Mike Grell got sick a couple years ago, you know, they really helped him. That charity really helped him out. So it's one of the charities that whenever I see them at a con, I really try to help out. So and George is I believe he said he's the most active fundraiser for that group.
I want to say he's one of the founders of the group.
I wouldn't doubt it.
As well. Now, Tabitha that I was talking about, she's the Southern Regional Head of Heroes Initiative, volunteer head of Heroes. Okay. Not cool. Heroes of Hero Initiative.
Right.
So,
wow.
So are you satisfied now, Kylan? Last week we had Roland Mann, and he brings up George Perez, and Kylan's like, okay, all these people, and I've got a story I got to hear, and...
And then this story is... that story is nothing like I expected it to be.
Well, here's the deal. Let's hope he shows up for Wizard World here in Orlando next year.
Fingers crossed.
I don't see why he wouldn't, unless Wizard World's just that stupid not to invite him.
Exactly.
If he is, I will personally introduce you.
Cool. Yeah, we're all trying to get my podcast, Geek Watch 1, down to Orlando so that Weeby Geeks, Mighty Marvel Geeks, and Geek Watch 1 can invade Wizard World Orlando. And I'll let you know we're working on that right now. So
basically the way it's going to look like is, if you've seen the outtake from Monsters, Inc., where they're walking into the scare floor and then they all trip on each other, that's going to be us.
Pretty much.
She'll inherit the earth.
Complete with theme music and everything, it'll be awesome.
Yeah. Everyone's phone's going to be playing the theme from The Right Stuff.
Screw that. My phone's going to have the theme to Captain America, the First Avenger.
I was going to go with Shaft, but okay.
Actually,
that's going to be me walking in. That's what it is.
Actually, we need to be walking into this.
No, you didn't.
So long as we don't have to walk in walking like an Egyptian.
No, I'm not doing that. I haven't done that since 87. I'm not doing it anymore. No.
Okay, how about we walk into this?
Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Cause Ultron Funk don't give it to you. Cause Ultron Funk don't give it to you. Cause Ultron Funk don't give it to you. Avengers assemble and fight it down. It's the Age of Ultron.
See, that we can come into that, yes. We'll shut it down at that point.
I think,
man,
I just found the song for mine and Phoenicia's duet, though.
Oh, come on. No.
I can dance to that. I know she can. We're talking about doing a duet next year at Dragon Con.
There you go.
I will have to come to Dragon Con if that happens. It's been ages since I have been to Dragon Con. I need to get back.
You know, it was actually a really good time this year. It's been increasing in size every year since I've been going for the last 9 years. And this is the first year in the last five that just wasn't overwhelming crowd. Like, you know, Saturday is the day trip, so it's always going to be bad on Saturday.
Yeah,
right.
But that was before 6 o'clock, though. But other than that, it was a lot easier to get to everything this year. And I don't know how much of that is crowd control and how much of that was less looky-loos and how much of that was, you know, but they said they had, you know, 10,000 more this year than they had in years past. But
are they still sharing the convention center with the S&M convention?
No, it's split between five hotels: the Hyatt, Hilton, Marriott, Westin, and Sheraton. And then they moved all the dealer rooms over to the America's Mart. But yeah, well, I thought, you know, it'd be bad too, but actually, they finally got the dealer rooms out, so you can move around in them somewhat until you get to the Chesek or the
lightsaber
booths.
And
they put those on the same aisle.
Right. That aisle is just Charybdis. Like, you just have to sort of sail around it. So
But everywhere else in the dealer room was pretty okay. All the nighttime music shows are in the Marriott or the Hyatt, and that worked out well. I think the Sheraton is the only... you only go to the Sheraton for Star Trek panels and badges.
We don't need no stinking budgets.
Right.
They have really stepped up their game with getting check-in done for the badges.
It used to be like 5 hours. At one point, it was 5 hours. We were about to, like, no, not going again. This time, it was 5 minutes.
It was less than 5 minutes we were launched.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, that was on Thursday. I heard that Saturday got backed up again, but once again, it's day three.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Nice. Wow. Well, okay, my curiosity has been satisfied. what do you guys think?
Well, we've met Perez.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm the only one who hasn't. It's okay. It's okay.
That's all right.
It's
okay. I mean, we'll take care of that at some point.
We will. That goes on the list. Like, I've met Mike Grell three times, so that was awesome. So, you know what? Now I'm just going to start stalking, you know, Perez. And, you know,
you need to meet Phoenicia, too. She's amazing, and she's a really, really good dancer, and they're a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get the feeling I probably missed Phoenicia because I was at Dragon Con last year, and you know I was there for some of the Silk Road stuff. I get the feeling I missed.
She was there, and she talked to us after my demo that you were at Dragon Con.
Oh, yes.
Or just lady with the silver hair, real pretty.
Yeah,
yeah, that's her.
Yeah,
and yes, okay. And yes, she does make George Perez's different Hawaiian type shirts.
Yeah,
and those two are stupid head over heels for each other. It's adorable. Ridiculous.
Any recording where you hear somebody screaming really loudly, George.
I'm Phoenicia's dances, yeah.
So any recording, but, it's always him.
Yeah. Don't worry, Kaylin. If you came up and told me, or, you know, sent me a picture of O'Neill or Starlin, I'd be doing the same thing. Those are my last two. I've gotten everybody else I want to meet, Starlin and O'Neill.
Okay.
Oh, Simone, excuse me. I want to meet Gail Simone bad, but, you know.
Okay.
I got to play this from my other show just for you, Tom.
Hi, this is Gail Simone, and you're listening to the Weeby Geeks podcast.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to make her the blue short dress, Red Sonja outfit, and send to her.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like it would be a little creep show if I asked for her measurements.
A little
around the edges, okay. Yeah. Not really sure how you, like, smoothly get that from somebody. Like, hey, girl, what are your digits? 24, 36, or somewhere in there? No, 42 at the top?
There's no
way to do that smoothly.
Settle a bet between me and this guy over here. He says you're 42. I say you're 38. Well, what is it?
That's an invitation to a double slap.
I would say it might be less creepy for her to do it, but
I would actually probably walk up with like a piece of like an armored bra and be just like, and like kind of guess what size it would be based on having made clothes for a long time and be like, here, does this fit you? Settle a bet with me. This person says that this is totally the wrong size, but I think it'll fit. And then just sort of guess from there.
Hi, I'm a random stranger. Try this on.
Exactly. You know, honestly, if it was a metal bra or covered in coins, I would do it. But it's a belly dancer thing.
And this is what worries me sometimes.
episode 87, con stalking begins.
I actually try to go to panels. I don't have time to stalk anyone. That's why we had to make dinner plans with Phoenicia way in advance.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I can see that. I just would never stalk her at a con, though.
No. Wow. Okay, my brain is broken. My brain is broken.
Broken brains, jazz hands, and metal bras.
Pretty much.
That's the title.
There's the title right there, yeah.
That's like a normal Tuesday for me, though.
Yeah.
You think I'm joking.
I've known enough con goers to know maybe not.
Yeah, I'm also a belly dancer. So, and I'm a tribal dancer. I do a tribal fusion. So there's a lot of old school goth and industrial influence mixed in with world dance from a lot of other places and times. And I really try hard to sneak jazz hands in however I can. But you have all these like low languid movements and it's just jazzy. And then you've got to kind of back off it a little bit. Because jazz hands are a thing that are not done in belly dance.
Broken mind. Jazz hands. Normal Tuesday.
Yeah, don't forget the metal frogs.
Then again, I don't think I've been around Kaylin for any time more than 4 minutes that his brain didn't get broken.
No. And see, thing is, I should be used to this because I don't have the most normal life. But still, it's just, you know, I reach increasingly more epic levels of
brain breaking.
Awesome. Brain breaking. That's what
it is. I have to admit that while you were visiting, I kind of wish I could have taken pictures of your face at several times throughout the weekend just to make a montage.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who don't know, Kaylin is one of the people who drove how many hours?
11.
11 hours to come to my house to kick my ass for my birthday.
I did not tell that story on this show. He fought 108 fights for his birthday.
Okay.
I'm a martial arts teacher. It's an old high-level test, and I was bringing in black belts and brown belts from all over the country that I know. I had people from Ohio, people from Kentucky to come in for this like micro tournament against one person. And yeah, so Kaylin and like another guy from Ohio and drove all the way down here just for that. It was pretty fun.
That's
right. If you guys want to see another face of Kylan, hey, Kylan, Channing Tatum's coming on the show next week.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Oh.
There are times I wish this show was broadcast in video. I really do.
I can't stand him. I just, why is he everywhere? I just want somebody just, even on the face, if you go to Mighty Marvel Geeks Facebook page, somebody explain to me, why is his face everywhere? That's all I want to know. He can't even act. I'm done.
His face is everywhere because your face is so freaking entertaining. Well, when he jumps up.
But he's going to talk Infinity. Or, not Infinity.
What?
Illuminati.
See, you know what? See, and I've been nice. I have not mentioned that. I have not mentioned Illuminati. Because, see, if we mention Illuminati and that hack actor in the same sentence, the space-time continuum splits, and then reality as we know it, it ceases to exist. So
I want to gauge something real quick.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, your reaction to Channing Tatum as Duke... Wait. Okay, I'm gonna let him recover for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Your reaction is Channing Tatum as Gambit. So which was worse?
Good
idea. Not even it happening for one of them. Which idea did you offer?
The second.
I just want to spit right now. I can't even say it. When they announced it, have you ever heard me actually say anything about him being cast? I always react to it, but I never acknowledge it.
I have no problem with him, but he's not Gambit.
For a while there, we thought we were safe when they said he was removed from the cast of Gambit.
And then Mike sent me a text. Ruined my day. That's okay, though.
There's better choices for Gambit than...
There are. I don't know. Bob Barker. Bob Barker, for one, would be a better choice.
Yeah.
You know, to say. I don't know. Chris Rock, he'd be a better choice.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan,
Kathy Bates. There's many people I could think of as a better choice for Gambit than him. You know?
Now I actually want to see Kathy Bates.
Marley Matlin would be a better choice than. No, I'm that sorry.
That's okay. She didn't hear you anyway.
You know, I hate to say it. But
oh my god!
Almost worth making a reaction.
Oh my god! Oh!
I think you broke him again, Mike.
Oh! Wow. This is why we can't have nice things, folks.
This is why we're in the underground suborbital underwater volcano lair.
They kicked us all off of the helicarrier. Wonder why.
All the good lairs were taken.
That's right. God. Wow. Well, there's that too, you know. But then maybe we get a new bus. Like the one we saw. Just saying.
So, did you guys see... Has everyone seen the opening scene from... S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Negator, Skeletor.
No.
Unfortunately, I not everybody.
Well, we're going to talk about it anyway.
Oh. I saw it. We can talk about it. I'm just saying, unfortunately, not everybody in this room.
Not everybody, no. But that's okay.
That's okay.
Well, actually, on that note, we're going to head out. We got 30,
all right. So, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for stopping by.
Of course.
Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure.
All right. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Bye. Love you, man.
All right. Love you, too.
So, the opening sequence from S.H.I.E.L.D. has been released for the premiere.
Right.
I think Coulson said it best.
Oh, spoiler alert.
We see this guy running around, touches stuff, it melts. Other metal things around him melt.
It's not just metal things. If you look in what presumably was the guy's part, there's also the legs and hips of somebody that it reminds me of those figures from Pompeii.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the casts of the bodies, and they look like they're just like piles of ash that are in human form.
Right.
So clearly, this has not been a good day for somebody.
No, it has not.
He must have had a run-in with Channing Tatum.
Probably. I have to admit, from the way that the torso looked, or not the torso, from the waist down, it almost reminded me also of how a non-inhuman looks when the Terrigen gas hits. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking,
metal, actually. It's not the gas, it's the metal.
Well, that's right. So that's what I was thinking at first, but then as it progresses, you know, all of a sudden I'm like you said, somebody's not having a good day at all.
So then all of a sudden this, I know when I first saw it, you see these black cars pull up, black SUVs. I'm like, oh, it's a SHIELD crew. Okay. Well, apparently it's not a SHIELD crew.
It's something like SHIELD crew, but you can tell right away when they get out, they're not SHIELD.
Nope.
Mm-mm. So they don't even look like they're government exactly either.
Hell Hydra, maybe? AIM?
Now that would make that the Hydra connection, I think, would be a great way to keep Ward in the picture.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and this ties to the event in Ant-Man. Okay, at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it looked like Hydra had been reduced to, you know, them being manned by gang members and
bikers,
right? But then when we see Ant-Man, we see that somebody in Hydra still has money. See that. So maybe what's going on with Hydra is what was happening with S.H.I.E.L.D. Are there two Hydras going on?
I don't know.
I mean, like, we're guessing at this point.
Well, I'm just saying, we got S.H.I.E.L.D. and new S.H.I.E.L.D., so why not?
Right.
Hydra and new Hydra. Who knows?
Right.
So we see Daisy, Sky, Quake, whatever you want to call her. She shows up to rescue, as we come to find out, Joey from the alley.
Right. And when he said that, I expected him to say, "Are you the one?"
That could have been funny.
That could have been funny.
So all of a sudden, this thing just drops out of the sky. They said, "Get in."
The sky, as in the atmosphere sky, not as in the quake sky.
Right.
And he gets in. All of a sudden, it rockets up. And then, if you could have seen Kylan's face when you saw what it was heading to, just say there's a new bus.
Y'all,
it's boss.
For those of y'all who are listening in, either on Sorcerer Radio or on the podcast, Kylan had not watched this scene
until
we were getting ready to start recording the show. So
right, I didn't want any spoilers.
We encouraged him to watch it, and it was almost like an 8-year-old opening up the Red Ryder BB gun on Christmas morning. He just had that look of, oh my God!
I will tell you this, listeners. This bus is the bus that we have been looking for ever since season one. Just saying.
And my question is it going to have the same layout as Serenity from Firefly and like the original bus?
I think it will, because that's a Whedon thing.
Yeah.
I almost expect to. But at the same, now here's the other thing. This goes back to something we had talked about several issues ago regarding Coulson's hand. So the new bus and the new Quinjet. Now we know that the bus and the Quinjet. We know for sure that the Quinjet comes from Stark Technology. Okay,
right.
Stark Industries. So can we assume that the bus comes from Stark Industries, and that between the two of those, that the new hand comes from Stark Industries? Does that mean that Stark is going to be playing a bigger role in the series too?
I would love
not just Stark himself, but the company.
I would love to see Robert Downey Jr. non-armor make appearances on the show this next season.
Yes,
I would love to see that, and I think you're kind of onto something there, Colin, because if you see by the way, spoiler alert again, if you look at the new bus,
mm-hmm.
you see some design similarities to the Quinjet.
That's right. It was using the same art technology that you saw in the helicarrier in Age of Ultron.
Oh, it looked like, and it's almost like you took the basic Quinjet frame
mm-hmm.
and enlarged it.
Yes.
Yeah. So if the original Quinjet is a Stark influence design, mm-hmm. then it makes sense to follow that the new bus is as well.
Right.
Very well.
And and we've been saying all along since, you know, Coulson got his hand chopped off, it's got to be Stark Tech.
Yeah.
It makes too much sense for it to be Stark Tech. And I want to see Marvel, if you're listening, hook a brother up. I want to see one scene over the course of this season where it looked like Coulson Coulson's wearing a glove, and that makes sense from like a budgetary standpoint. You know, he just wears a glove, kind of like Luke Skywalker, just to cover it up. But he's got to point that hand at something and see a repulsor blast come out from that glove.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Just one time. That's all I ask.
But they equipped it with a one-time use.
I mean, it may just be like a one-shot deal, kind of like a derringer.
Right.
You know, you carry around derringer in your boot, and, you know, you only got one shot, but sometimes that one shot's all you need.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio and the Weeby Geeks Network.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Are you in the market for some new swag? Some comic-themed merch? How about a Sweetwater keychain of your favorite villain or vigilante? Just hop over to the Weeby Geeks site and click the Superhero Stuff link and let the retail therapy commence. Using the link helps support Weeby Geeks because they get a small commission from each sale at no extra cost to you. So get to shopping and thanks for listening.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the geek revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the geek revolution. Want to know more?
Hi, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And we're Geek Watch 1. Are you interested in TV,
movies,
comics,
games,
and conventions? Everything from Trek
to Wars,
Marvel,
DC,
D&D,
to WoW,
Whovians,
to the Hulksters,
then your search is over.
We are the geeks you're looking for.
GeekWatch 1 is available at KylanandKen.podbean.com.
You can also listen, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look for GeekWatch 1.
And you can interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at KylanandKen.
And remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
Did you know that you can shop and support the Weeby Geeks Network at the same time? Every time you use the Amazon link to make purchases, such as a set of CAD Sessions MH510 headphones to listen to the Weeby Geeks Network podcasts, a percentage of your purchase goes towards helping the network. So, to review, browse the page, click the link, shop, and repeat. Thanks, and keep listening.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Mighty Marvel Geeks, as heard on Sorcerer Radio, and also in podcast form as part of the Weeby Geeks Podcast Network. Catch us on iTunes, also on Stitcher. And I am Eric, and I am surrounded by these two wonderful gentlemen. They know that I must want something from them later. Kylan and Mike.
I think you're using that term wonderful loosely.
Although gentleman is pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Unless you heard the first half of the show, then you totally gone, yeah, no.
Okay, all right, then let's retake. I'm sitting here surrounded by these two dirt bags. Is that better?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. These two wonderful dirt bags. How's that? And anyway, we're supposed to be talking about Marvel, not dirt bags. If you caught the first half of the show, we were talking about the teaser segment, I guess we could say what it was. It's like a preview of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season premiere. Oh, there you are, Perry. Where we got to see the new bus, and we got to see Daisy / Quake in action. Well,
yeah, you said bus.
I did say bus. I did say bus. I said bus, not platypus. But if you've been following along in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book You might have noticed in issue number 9, the most recent issue, a new Howling Commandos team being formed. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because they're getting their own series starting in October. And it is going to be titled Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's kind of got a little bit of a more, I don't want to say horror or macabre. These are actually, it's like fighting fire with fire. If you're going to be fighting monsters, we'll have some monsters of your own. It's going to be written by Frank Barbier and artist Brent Schoonover. The agency is launching a new military unit called STAKE, S-T-A-K-E. It's composed of bestial, fantastic, and grotesque monster hunters. And it's going to be led by Dum Dum Dugan, or rather the life model decoy of Dum Dum Dugan.
Okay.
And it sounds interesting because a lot of the early storylines are going to be about identity. For instance, Dum Dum Dugan, the life model decoy of Dum Dum, knows he's a life model decoy of Dum Dum. So it's like how he comes to grips with that and how he comes to deal with that. And, you know, it's like, okay, I'm not the real one, but I'm going to take this team. I'm going to lead it just like the real one.
So it sounds like these guys are going to be a bunch of groovy ghoulies.
Something like that. And, well, including former agent Jasper Sitwell, who has come back as a zombie. Mm. An actual, honest-to-goodness Marvel zombie.
All I got to say is Sitwell's a dead man walking.
Yeah, literally. And there's the question of, you know, how much of Sitwell's personality is in there? I mean, you know, does he know who he is? Does he have the skills? They're going to be examining that. And they say, this is an interview with comicbookresources.com, and they're saying that they're wanting to explore that because Dum Dum knows, or at least strongly believes, that Sitwell is still in there somewhere. It's just how much of him is left. But there are some other characters. A lot of these characters are from the history of Marvel. Like, you've got Orgo, who hasn't been around for a while. You've got the Mamphibian. Did I say that correctly? Mamphibian? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And so you've got Hit Monkey. And Man-Thing.
Okay.
You remember Man-Thing?
Yeah.
I remember Man-Thing, yeah.
Yeah, he who knows fear burns at the Man-Thing's touch. Yeah. So you've got a lot of old... It's almost like a Marvel Monster Squad, if you will. So they're going to be taking on the more supernatural things. It's almost like an anti-supernatural, you know, action squad.
Right.
So this is going to go on my pull list. It's just weird enough to qualify.
All right.
Because you have Dum Dum, who's not Dum Dum. You have a monkey. You have to have a monkey.
Yeah, you do.
You have an alien. You have a cursed. You have somebody who looks like a werewolf. It's not like the iconic Marvel werewolf whose name is Jack Russell. I saw what you did there, Marvel. Yeah, it's a guy. It's a regular. He's like a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, but he wears this gauntlet, and it's got like some sort of genetic injection apparatus that basically injects him with DNA or some kind of serum that turns him into a werewolf. So it's going to be interesting. And
Harry Hyde,
something like that. And plus, it's going to be like they're going up against Vampire by Night, I think it was.
Oh, they're bringing him back.
It's going to be pulling in villains from Marvel's old history as well. Oh, excuse me. I got choked up about that.
Got a little emotional, I understand.
Yeah, I got a little emotional, you know. Just werewolves and vampires, they're not glittering.
Lord.
Yeah. Marvel's vampires don't glitter in the sunshine like a disco ball.
The only time vampires should sparkle is right before they go poof.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this looks interesting. And like I said, it comes out next month. In the month of October. So I'll be looking forward to that. Just in time for Halloween.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I don't think that's coincidental.
No, not at all. Completely accidental. You know, just happened that way. You know.
Yeah.
Speaking of Halloween, we'll go a little Moon Knight, shall we say?
Yeah.
Comicbook.com had the exclusive that Lee Meyer, Smallwood, and Bel Air usher Moon Knight into the all-new, all-different Marvel. This spring, Jeff Lemire, Greg Smallwood, and Jordy Belair will launch an all-new Moon Knight series, continuing the tortured and tragic tale of Mark Spector. As the series, Mark finds to wake himself in a mental institution. Oh, nuts. That's all I got to say. All nuts.
All nuts.
As we try and see how far my voice will go with this show. what events led him to be institutionalized, or has he been here all along? Could Moon Knight's adventures be delusions of a troubled man?
Is this kind of like Fight Club, where, you know, Tyler Durden is just all in his head?
Or like Seen Elsewhere, where it's all the creativity of a autistic child shaking a snow globe.
Man, that's right.
That's how that finale.
I forgot that's how that went.
That's how the show ended. Yeah. Sorry if it's a spoiler alert, but come on, that show was from the '80s.
Well, that's almost like Newhart.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was kind of that was great.
That was a great ending. I will say that.
So, when we join Mark Spector, how many minds is the character? Does he believe he's of sound mind when he realizes where he is? And the reply was, well, that's a really tricky question to answer without spoiling the story. Mark is in a place that I don't think we've seen him before. He's being told one thing, but starting to believe another. And that's all that the creators want to say. Check out comicbook.com for more of the Q&A. But I think it's kind of cool that they're going with this whole, maybe the whole thing was a drugged up delusion, since he kind of cracked, maybe.
Right.
So yeah, that's Moon Knight.
And, I think that's going to be on my pull list.
And wasn't there another announcement for comics?
Yeah, Marvel announced a new Black Panther series. And this comes from Blogspot. Marvel's as we're preparing to see Black Panther in Civil War.
Right.
But what has happened is that Marvel was talking to Nahisi Coates, who did an interview with Marvel Comics regarding their diversity of their characters. In fact, he interviewed Sana Aminat, who's an editor over there, when he was working for Mr. Coates was working for The Atlantic. Well, shortly after the interview, Marvel got back in touch with him, paired him with an editor, and they started talking about the possibility of a new Daredevil title. I mean, sorry, Daredevil, sorry, Black Panther title. And so the result is that spring of next year, we are going to see a new Black Panther series.
Okay.
Now, the awesome thing is that Mr. Coates, Nahisi Coates, is a huge Marvel fan. He loves all things Marvel. And so he's very familiar with the character. He's very familiar with Marvel, period. And he's been reading Marvel ever since he was a kid. In fact, in the 80s, he was introduced to Storm, Jim Rhodes, and Monica Rambeau, who was Captain Marvel at that point. She was a member of the Avengers, I believe, during that time. And so he all he's really concerned with is that he's really excited about it. And to quote, he said, "I want to make a great comic. I really, really do." And so Ta-Nehisi and Brian Stelfreeze are going to be working on this book together, and we'll be seeing that in spring.
Okay. Well, it's been a huge comic book filled episode or issue, excuse me. Yeah, it's also been talked about too that Inhumans maybe taking over the X-Men world,
and yeah,
they're kind of, you know, pushed by the wayside, the X-Men. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
I don't think you had to be a telepath to see that coming. I really don't.
No, I mean,
it's mainly a business decision.
Yeah.
Yes, we talk about these characters. We love these characters. We talk about the stories. We love the stories. But one thing we as fans tend to lose sight of is that at the end of the day, Marvel is a business. It doesn't matter. I'm sure there are going to be fanboys out there going, "Well, this is just another way that Disney is screwing up Marvel." Look, it doesn't matter who owns Marvel. If Marvel owned Marvel, this would still be a business decision, and they would still be making this decision, mainly because their return on investment for properties that they don't totally own anymore, it's not as much.
No.
I mean, you make a better business decision to pursue and support properties that you own 100%. And
yeah,
we may, as fans, we may not like that. That's not what we want to hear, because I love a lot of the X-Men stories. I mean, I loved them in the 80s and the 90s, and it was something that I would hate to see go by the wayside.
Right.
But honestly, they're not giving X-Men... We're not getting the rights back from Fox.
I was going to say...
No,
Fox? The Fantastic Flop? What a major hit.
Yeah, but you know what? The movies that have X on them, they're still making money.
Yeah, barely.
And you have barely. The thing is, they have a huge... You have an entire self-contained universe with the X-Men
yeah,
that does not have to interact with the rest of the MCU.
See,
it doesn't.
And at this point in time, you know, Marvel has quote unquote killed off Fantastic Four in the comics. Why? Well, look what it did to the movie. There was nothing there to really help support it merchandise wise.
Right.
Thank God there was no merchandise. But I mean, Spider-Man. That'd be like saying somebody else has the license for Mickey Mouse. And you're gonna totally stop doing, and Disney's gonna stop doing Mickey Mouse just to keep whatever company from doing whatever.
Right.
Well, I don't know that you could say.
Well, I could go the other way. Disney owns the Muppets, but they license Kermit.
Right.
They do not own Kermit. They only license Kermit.
So they would just do Muppet stuff and not include Kermit.
Kermit, there's no way. You're not going to kill the icon. I mean, Spider-Man's the face of Marvel.
He is.
Yeah, so.
I mean, like what we were talking about earlier, I mean, for the three of us, we were all introduced to Spider-Man through a non-Marvel medium.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I mean, we had clues, huge clues about this when Marvel back in the summer came out with their all new, all different poster, and one of the glaring
omissions
was what, about 90% of the mutants.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think Wolverine was in it, or like Cyclops may have been in there, and I don't remember anybody else, really.
How about the last issue, 44 of the Avengers, with Scarlet Witch? Mutants no more.
See? You know, it's... I think once whoever, what creative genius, and I mean that in the best way possible, whatever creative genius realized that the Inhumans could provide for them what they were missing by not having access to the X-Men and the mutants in that universe. I applaud them. I applaud them because I never would have considered the Inhumans. You know, they were third level. They were third level characters.
And see, now too, you could now given instead of the mutation. I mean, everything is, here's the Inhuman. There's the gene, but it has to be activated by something. You're not just...
There has to be the catalyst in the Terrigen gas. Yeah. So, and really, as much as I enjoyed the X-Men, yes, watched the cartoons, yes, I watched the first three movies, I've read the comic books, but let's think for a minute as to how many characters Marvel owns. We're talking thousands, literally thousands of characters. I don't have to have mutants in my MCU.
No.
I don't. You go back when 5,000 characters, surely there's someone in those archives that you can bring up, dust off, and filled the exact same role. And that's exactly what happened with Inhumans.
Then we're looking at you, Red Wolf.
Yes. Yep. See? See, in a way, I hope X-Men never come back to Marvel.
I agree.
People are going to be like, pause this, like, what the heck did he just say? And back it up. So I'm going to say it again so you don't have to back it up. I hope mutants and X-Men never come back to Marvel.
I you know what? I will say I agree with you. Like you said, you got 5,000 plus characters. That how many were prominent in the 70s for whatever reason disappeared? Now you had some that were prominent in the 80s and disappeared. Some that are prominent in the 90s and disappeared. Who, if I had known you 12 months ago, if I told you guys that Marvel was going to give Red Wolf his own book, you guys would have thought I was nuts. You would have said who?
I would have thought, well, it's just going to be like a limited series. But see, this is the reason why I say I hope that X-Men never come back to Marvel.
Okay.
Because, in the terms of the cinematic universe and what have you, because if that does happen, then Marvel will feel a certain pressure to revitalize them and bring them back. So this way, with the X universe over securely in Fox's hands, and they are going to be, you know, you're going to pry the movie rights away from Fox the same way you will from, you know, the gun from Charlton Heston's hands, cold, dead hands. This way, Marvel has more freedom to do exactly what they're doing with, like, Red Wolf and... Right. And Black Panther and the Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. They get to pull from the archives and reintroduce characters that may not have been, that would have not gotten a chance at a spot in the spotlight otherwise.
Right. Okay.
Like I say, Marvel Cinematic Universe, if Marvel Studios had the right movie rights to X-Men, do you think Ant-Man would have been made?
No.
No.
Do you think Guardians of the Galaxy would have been made?
No.
Maybe.
I very seriously doubt it.
Well, no, you know why? Because they would have jumped right to the Shi'ar Empire and probably done the Starjammers instead.
Yeah. There it is. Now, Starjammers movie would rock if done right, but...
Right.
Well, let's kind of, since we've been talking comic history, let's get into our Marvel Unlimited pick for the week.
Our Marvel Unlimited pick is Star Brand number one.
Oh, dude!
I take it that meets with your approval, Kylan. Okay.
Continue.
Okay. Star Brand was the first of Marvel's new universes where they tried to basically reboot a universe, start up a new universe, of course, yeah, that's what they call it, and basically just start fresh. It's kind of like what they did with the Ultimates and what they're trying to do with this post Battle World Secret Wars kind of thing. But this came out October 10th, 1986. It was written by Jim Shooter, penciled by John Romita Jr., inked by Tom Palmer and Al Williamson. And it is the story of a young man who just out, you know, riding around on his dirt bike. And he, you know, comes across an old man who basically gives him a tattoo just by touching him. And this is a Star brand. It has a very, it had a very Green Lantern feel to it.
Yeah.
Because it was a cosmic power, and it basically turned him into a superhuman who could, you know, fly and, you know, create energy bolts and was super strong, super tough. And the thing that I liked about it is that it had the, as Incredibles director Brad Bird said, the whammo blammo, you know, the superhero hijinks going on. But it dealt as much with how this kid reacted and was coping with the great power, great responsibility issues. Mm. And in many ways, this power was like ruining his life.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
he had a relationship. Because being a kid, you know, you never really, you know, Bruce Wayne was all rich and everything. So being Batman didn't really affect him. Yeah. And for some reason, Clark Kent, well, I know these are other characters from another place. But this guy, it messed up his work. It messed up his relationships. I was like 14 reading this, so it blew my mind.
And when I say kid, I mean, it's not like kid, like a teenager. He's like in his, he's definitely in his, I would say early to mid-20s.
Yeah, I think it was like in his mid-20s. He had been in college at some point.
Yeah. When I say kid, it's like I'm 46 years old. You know, anybody that's, you know, in their 20s or 30s is still a kid from my perspective. So, but he is... I liked this, and it was inspired by somebody else's unlimited pick of Quasar back a few weeks back, because Quasar actually wound up in the new universe. Even this was long after the new universe as a whole got, you know, shut down, but Quasar wound up in there, and he acquired the Star brand so he could get back to the 616.
Right.
So, yeah, I love that little nod back. And the way that Quasar got the Star brand, he sat down with the current holder and said, okay, you know, I know you can't give it to a total stranger, so we'll talk. We'll talk about anything and everything. 3 days later, they've been talking nonstop pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so he just hands it, you know, he says, okay, well, here it is. Boom. There it is. And as Quasar flies off, he walks back into his house, and you see him jump up and click his heels.
Yeah.
Because I love that whole sometimes being super isn't so super.
The entire new universe did a really good job of that. There was another title that was premiered not long after.
Let's see, there was Justice, there was Cyforce, there was DP7.
Night Mask,
yes.
Now, and Night Mask, it was a real burden. It wasn't just the with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah. There was that, but it was such a real world approach.
Yeah,
and I think if memory serves me right, Marvel wanted this title, new universe, to be so unique that you actually had 30 days lapse between the books, so that, you know, stuff was still going on in these guys' lives.
Yeah.
And they would reference something happening. You may not, it obviously happened between the books, but it wasn't big enough to affect the overreaching story. But I love the new universe. I hate that it didn't last, you know, but I loved it. I really did. That's a great pick, man.
So, well, on this note, let's hit final thoughts. I know we haven't done our new picks of the week, but we're slowly running out of time. Check out the podcast side, because we're going to be talking about We're going to be talking about Deadpool number 13. And before we, you know, as the book of the month, and do our book of the month or the book club discussion. But we're also going to do our picks of the week over there as well. But hopefully, you know, we've given you some titles to look forward to, you know, with Moon Knight, with Howling Commandos, with Black Panther. Why am I drawing a blank? I don't know.
You've got Daredevil on the brain. I'm telling you.
I said Daredevil when we were talking about Black Panther. So
yeah,
I don't know.
We've all got Daredevil on the brain.
See, this is what happens when we do the show blind.
I see what
I'm
you did there.
I'm gonna have to call my lawyer on that one.
I might just have to club you for that.
I'm feeling kind of foggy already.
Well, considering I'm the kingpin of the show.
There you go. I knew it.
Any final thoughts for the week?
No, I think I'm good.
I think I'm good. There's a lot of news out there. We weren't able to get all the Marvel news, but there's a lot of stuff going on the comic side and the TV side.
Yeah, I mean, so much. We're having to extend. I mean, since we're already doing the book club discussion this week, you know, we're having to extend the picks of the week into that. Which, you know, I apologize to the Sorcerer Radio listeners. But, you know, hey, we've given a lot of great news. We got you a great pick with Marvel Unlimited. And welcome to the backstory. That's what we call the podcast extra. This week's backstory, we're going to be bringing you our picks of the week and doing our book of the month club.
Yep.
Discussion.
Our very first book of the month club.
The very first one, yeah. So, yeah. Well, before we get into that, let's do this first. It is New Comic Book Day for September 30th, the last Wednesday of September. Kylan, what's your first pick of the week?
My first pick of the week is True Believers, the unbeatable Squirrel Girl, number one.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. Like, I love Squirrel Girl, so...
Her daddy's a god.
Well, you know, that helps. And she's also Luke Cage's and Jessica Jones's babysitter, so there's that also.
Oh, nuts.
Now, the downside of this book is that there's no info on it, except that the writer is Ryan North.
Well,
but I picked it because Squirrel Girl, so there's that.
It's been a squirrely couple of months at Marvel with their books or with their calendars. I don't know about you guys. I can't get the menu drop down to pick what week to work on Google Chrome.
I use Firefox to pull it up, and it comes up fine.
I use Firefox. I have no problems. I have to copy and then drop it into Chrome.
Oh.
So, yeah, but this week is like, you know, looking at some of the titles, it's like the covers aren't even loading. Even over on Firefox, I couldn't get all the covers to load.
Yeah, they're not loading for me either. So.
Well, Eric, how about your first pick?
My first pick doesn't have a whole lot more written for it than Kylan's first pick. But my first pick is S.H.I.E.L.D. number 10. Now, if you were listening to the early part of the podcast or the radio show on Sorcerer Radio, then we had been talking about the previous issue in this series where you have the introduction to the Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, this time you've got a different kind of animal character. It's Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck is side by side with S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, why a duck? Because Coulson knows a secret about Howard that could save the multiverse. And this is written by Mark Waid, and the cover artist is Julian Totino Tedesco.
Okay, gotta ask. Somebody look it up. Didn't I possibly pick this title sometime within the last couple of weeks? Did we just run into another issue where it was listed and even had the right date and then they changed the date?
It's completely very possible. Because I know for a fact that last week, Eric, you picked Fury number one.
I know for a fact that I picked Fury number one. It was either the week before or 2 weeks before that. And I was just, but like you said, it's just been, there's been issues on the site. That's why I've missed, Lando, you know, because it's not listed as being, you know, being out. Then by the time I find out it's out, it's been, you know, it's been pulled. Everybody's got it. So I don't know.
So, we're just claiming technical difficulties.
Yeah. Shield number 10 was a pick back in issue 85.
So that was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Well, I'll be done.
Well, that's okay. Let's go ahead and pick.
So, you know what? Everything old is new again. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, we'll go with that.
So, wow, craziness.
We'll get it right one of these times.
One of these times, yeah.
One of these times.
Well, my first pick of the week, and I'm double-checking again, and it says published September 30th, 2015, MODOK Assassin, number 5. The Mark with a Mind's first solo series comes to a head. That's what it says.
Really?
That's what it says.
But you didn't make that up.
No, I swear to you, that's what it says.
I would still take credit for it if I were you.
I think somebody wrote a dare.
No, with the way Marvel, and don't get us wrong, we love you, Marvel, but with the way the calendar's been,
no,
they need to keep credit on this one. That's a salvation.
Okay.
Oh, my word.
Okay, comes to a head.
With the life of the woman who's stolen his heart hanging in the balance, the mental organism designed only for killing races to put an end to Baron Mordo's murderous bid for power. Will MODOK save the day? One thing's for sure, he will live up to his design.
So, MODOK's got a sweetie.
How twisted is that?
Well, you know, about you actually twisted. Believe her
about
when
as
she
twisted,
says, go ahead.
I was going to say, about as twisted as Channing Tatum's underwear and Magic Mike.
I wouldn't know because I do not know.
I have never seen the movie, so I'm just going based on assumptions.
That man makes my head hurt.
You know, that just shot down any comment that I was about to make, so... You just dropped the Channing bomb on us.
Sorry. Again.
Sorry.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
All right.
Mercy.
So, Kylan, your number two pick.
My number two pick is X-Men 92, number 4. The writers are Chris Sims and Chad Bowers. Cover artist is Pepe Larraz. Professor X face-to-faces with the X-Sentinel. Can the X-Men overcome Cassandra Nova's rehabilitations? So,
get them while you can.
Yep. I like this series. The 92 series is near and dear to my heart anyway. So, if you look at the cover, you see this giant super sentinel, and there's Professor Xavier in his floating chair about to face off against him. Classic David and Goliath scenario.
Yeah.
Except in this case, we're talking about the world's most powerful telepath. So, you know.
That's a little more than a sling and 3 round smooth stones.
I think just a little bit more. Yeah.
Well, how about you, Eric? Your
okay.
second
well,
pick.
My second pick is kind of along similar lines to Kylan's. It is E is for Extinction number 4, written by Chris Burnham and cover artists of Ian Bertram. Cyclops and his old classic X-Men continue to resist the idea that they are outclassed in every way by Magneto and his newer, younger, and more attractive team of X-Men.
Interesting. Well, my second pick is Hell Hydra number 3. As writers, Rick Remender, pencilers, Roland Boschi. Nomad stands his ground. The teachings of Steve Rogers endure. With the world crashing down on top of him, Ian Rogers struggles to get home. Who is Poison and why is she willing to help Nomad? And then,
all right.
It's our final picks, and we'll start with Kylan.
My final pick is The Cavalry, S.H.I.E.L.D. 50th Anniversary, number 1. The writer is Jody Hauser. The cover artist is Dale Keown. Discovered the explosive secrets that are hiding in Agent May's past. When Agent May leads a team of new recruits on a training mission, will she be able to save the day when everything goes wrong? Did someone say cyberwolves?
Cyberwolves?
Cyberwolves.
And you know what? I will get to see Agent May in action again. Sign me up. I'll be right there. I'll be there on Tuesday evening to get this.
Awesome. Yeah, pretty much.
Well, how about you, Eric?
Okay, my final pick for the week is Ghost Racers number 4, written by Philippe Smith and cover artist Stacy Lee. The Curse of Victory. Robbie Rees may have broken free of the Coliseum races, but at what terrifying cost? What is the fate of the other racers? Johnny Blaze, Danny Ketch, Alejandra Blaze, Slade, and Zero Cochran after their betrayal to Arcade. Can anyone truly win on the track of treachery?
Well, my third pick comes from writer Jeff Loeb and cover artist Tim Sale. It's Captain America White, number 2. Bullets, bombs, explosive revelations. Captain America and Bucky are ready to lead the Howling Commandos. See what I did there?
Yes.
But are the Howling Commandos ready to follow? Things go from bad to worse, and only Bucky can save the day. Will a shocking appearance from an old ally turn the tide of battle? So that is our picks for the week. Now let's get into the good stuff. We have our book of the month. Which next week, that almost goes back to you again, Kylan, for Book of the Month. Tell you what, I'm going to pick the book next week. I know I'm going to skip.
Sounds good.
Skip the order. I'm going to pick the book next week. That's going to be the Book of the Month for October.
Sounds good.
So I don't know if people are going to be ready for that one. But I've got some ideas. This week's book, or this month's book, actually came from Kylan. So
yep.
If you would remind us what the book was, and let's get started.
This month's book was from the 2012 Deadpool series. It is Deadpool number 13, Talking Jive and Taking Lives. The artist was Scott Koblish. The writers are comic actor and comedian Brian Posehn and Jerry Dugan. And the penciler is Chris Anka. When you open this book, the writers kind of explain that they've done a lot of writing. You know, they've done a lot to, you know, keep up with the demands of the book.
Right.
But sometimes you have to go back into the archives. And supposedly, this story was a old Deadpool story that they dusted off to let the readers read and take in for themselves. Our hero, I guess we'll call him a hero. We see him in 1970s New York, complete with mask and afro.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after a brief run-in with Aunt May, he happens across a newspaper and finds an ad for Heroes for Hire. Yes, that Heroes for Hire. The business that Luke Cage, also known as Power Man, and Iron Fist, Danny Rand, start together in Harlem. And so he says, hey, I want to be a hero. Because I believe this is during the time that Deadpool decides that he wants to be a hero. So he's doing all these crazy things to try and get accepted by the hero community. As he happens, pops into the Heroes for Hire office, he manages to make Luke Cage mad. Well, it's not hard to make Luke Cage mad anyway, but he really manages to get on his nerves within one panel. I think that might be a world record. And so that's where the insanity commences, if you will.
Yeah.
As he crashes into the office, Luke and Danny are talking to a prospective client about a case and it's a lady whose husband has been killed, and their bodega is being
squeezed.
They're squeezed by some guys running a protection racket, and so and she wants to protect her daughter's virtue. That's something that kind of, well, you know. I loved how when Power Man and Iron Fist said that they would go and work in their bodega and deep cover. And deep cover was aprons. No, Iron Fist is still in his green tights.
Mask off.
Mask off. And Power Man is still in his yellow disco shirt and blue pants. And then that's when we are introduced to Dead Pimp. I wish I was making this up. Now on his way to, I have to go back a little bit because on his way to the office, he encounters a softball team on their way to a Kiss concert. That if any of you have seen the movie The Warriors. You're going to get the reference. Yeah. Oh, and you know, I could continue, but I would like to think that the listeners out there have read the book with us, so you guys know the story. I love the writing. I love the in jokes. I loved the references.
I love the throwback to adding halftone to all the background images.
Yes. And I think my favorite part of it is the fact that the caption boxes are breaking the fourth wall.
Yes.
It's like the narrator is reading along, you know, pretty much over your shoulder and just and not taking it any more seriously than you are.
Right.
The bad guy is known as the white man, and Deadpool's like, why do we have to bring race into this? I believe that was probably a jab at the purple man. But oh my, I laughed out loud so many times.
Without pulling a weapon, Deadpool sees some action.
Yes, yeah.
And the whole rescue, quote unquote. Oh my lord.
Sweet Christmas. Oh man, that was I think my jaw, I was like, is this actually happening?
And of course there was the another throwback to the callback to the times in which that this was supposed to be set, was where Deadpool just kind of looks around and says, are you sure all this is approved by the Comics Code Authority?
Because
of course that was back in the day when the Comics Code Authority had to sign off on all this. And clearly not a single Deadpool comic made today would have ever passed that litmus test.
No.
And I think that's part of it. I think that's part of it, of Deadpool's appeal, is that it doesn't take itself all that seriously.
No, it doesn't.
No, it's I think I've said it before on the show, but I would love to see a Deadpool Lobo crossover.
The funny thing is, I didn't realize the similarities between the two until my wife said, because my wife is a huge Lobo fan, and she says, you know why I think I love Deadpool so much? Because I love Lobo. And I'm like, I'm looking at her, I know that I've known this woman for a very long time, we've been married for 15 years, and there's still disconnect. I get
it's
the Lobo
invasion of the body snatchers.
I'm like, Deadpool and Lobo, and I'm like as you get, this is a woman who can't stand slapstick, but she loves Deadpool and Lobo. I'm like, okay.
Does she also like Army of Darkness?
Yes, she does, actually.
See, there it is. Three very similar. You bring in Ash, you bring in Deadpool, you bring in Lobo for a. It just bring him like an army of zombies or something.
Army of Deads, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I completely missed that, but you're right. Huh. I can't wait. I'll tell her this in the morning. I cannot wait to tell her this. It's awesome.
So overall, go ahead.
Overall, I love this book. I have to admit, I love the ending. Mm-hmm. I love the ending because supposedly this was an old Deadpool story that somehow continues into modern time. So the whole time we're reading the story, we get 70s Luke Cage, and the final panel is modern Luke Cage.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No.
No, it makes me wonder if this wasn't just a dream that the modern day Luke Cage is having. Because, I mean, the last panel is just, it's him talking in his sleep. We ain't partners.
Yep.
That's the sort of thing. It's like, we're not teammates.
Yeah, but it continues into issue 14.
So now I have to read issue 14.
And I started reading issue 14, and it's like, okay, this is fine, because they start referencing everything from the first book, or from issue 13. So yeah. So I guess let's come up with our rating for our book of the month.
Do we do thumbs up? Do we do thumbs or stars or?
I think in Deadpool's case, it needs to be like a katana's up or a guns up or something like that.
What's a good Marvel themed rating we could use? How many webs? How many shields?
How many Excelsiors? There you go.
Yeah. Hey, let's do Excelsiors.
There you go.
Let's do Excelsiors.
All right.
What are we going to do? Five or four?
Up to five.
I would give this. You know what? I'm going to give it five. Because Deadpool, Power Man, and Iron Fist, and 70s. I felt like I should have been listening to, like, I don't know, the Shaft
Waka
soundtrack.
Chica music.
Exactly. As I'm reading this, I should have been listening to Waka Chica. So, five of them. Five Excelsiors.
Okay. So, here's that music for you. Good old 77 Amazing Spider-Man TV show. Live action.
I feel like I should be growing an afro right now.
I had one until my haircut this morning. If you remember how bad my hair was getting. How about you, Eric? How would you rate it?
I'm not going to be quite as generous as Kylan was. I'm only going to give it four. Granted, I loved it for all the same reasons that Kylan gave. Plus, I mean, I love stuff that does not take itself seriously. That just kind of winks at the source material, that just kind of you know it's a parody, we know it's a parody, we all know it's a parody, right? So let's have a little fun with it. But it's going to take a truly epic comic for me to give a full five Excelsior.
Okay. I'm almost not necessarily the same reasons, but I give it a four as well. I love the story. I loved I definitely loved the novelty of, you know, going back to discovering the lost story.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt, trying to think, which is hard for me to do tonight. I kind of felt that, there was just a hair missing. Maybe because I'm not a strong Luke Cage or Iron Fist fan. Right. Deadpool a little bit. I did love the fourth wall. Maybe that's what it was. I was expecting more fourth wall being broken.
Right.
And I would love to have seen Luke Cage and Iron Fist break the fourth wall maybe once or twice. Yeah, just since it is a Deadpool title.
Right. That would have been fun.
Yeah, some more fourth wall might have gotten the five out of me.
So, well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Hope everyone enjoyed reading Deadpool number 13, and you continue on into 14 as well. Again, with this book, you know, when we pick next month's book, shoot us an email at mmg@weebiegeeks.net or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter with your comments or whatever in regards to the title that's picked for next month. Yeah, we want to hear from you too, and we'll bring up your comments on the show. Or if you have questions that you want to hear us discuss about the title, we'll take those as well. So I guess we'll end it off this way. Kylan, the new bus.
Oh!
Woo. Kylan, Channing Tatum as Gambit. That, folks, right there is our version. That is our version of... And on that note, Jarvis, if you would, please.
Jarvis?
Oh, Jarvis.
Yeah, Jarvis.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, just time to go dark.